God's precious word this morning and turn, if you would, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Find it in your Bible. I know some of you like to follow along on your phone, but however you can, follow along with us this morning. Philippians chapter 3. We are looking at verse number 10 through verse number 12. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. The phrase in verse number 12 is what stands out to me as I was preparing this message. And that is the phrase, but I follow after. This morning I want to preach for a little while on that subject, following after. Thank you, you may be seated. Who or what are you following after? Because your answer to that question will show where your heart is. Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6 that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And in this context of Scripture, Paul had stated a determination in this passage that revealed where his heart was, and that heart was on Christ. He says, but I follow after. Church, this was a conscious and purposeful decision on behalf of Paul in his own thinking. He says, for me, I follow after. He was determined to follow after Christ. So in your life this morning, I want you to consider with me some things about this determination that Paul had in his life and how it then also can apply to us in this day, 2020, in which we are living in. Would you notice in this passage of Scripture that he was determined to press forward? The Bible here in this context says, but I follow after. Think about, if you would, running after something very quickly. Maybe you're running after someone who you might be in a shopping center and you see somebody you hadn't seen in a long time. They're kind of like maybe over that way, but you know who they are. And if you would, it's like you run after them because you want to see them. Or have you ever gotten out of your car and papers just begin to fly? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, and in essence, what do? You don't just kind of like nonchalant, oh, I hope, you know, they'll come back to me. No, you run after it. That's the idea here in this context of Scripture where Paul says, I'm following after. And in this context, truly, he is running quickly after a person who is already in with the Lord, seated at the right hand of the Father, that is, Jesus, is already seated there, but yet, Paul, as he is now living for the Lord, he says, I am determined to follow after Christ. I am determined because in my life, I take assessment and I realize where I am spiritually. Have you done that lately in your life? Look at verse number 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. What was he saying? He's saying, I have not come to maturity. I have not come to that place in my life spiritually where I can just stop growing. He says, there is still room for me to grow. And this was a man, by the way, who wrote half of the New Testament scriptures. And yet he says, when I look at my life, I have to honestly admit, I have not yet arrived. I have not yet come to that place of full maturity spiritually. I am not satisfied where I am. I'm still pressing forward. I'm still following after Christ. Where are you in your walk with Christ? Are you at a place where you are saved and just satisfied with that knowledge? Don't get me wrong. I think most of us would agree here this morning that one of the greatest knowledge in all of the world is to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Amen? You're able to say, I know that Jesus is my Savior. I know if I drop dead right now that I would be in His presence, not because of who I am, but because of who He is, and He saved me by His grace. But some can be saved and satisfied with just that knowledge alone and just go about their life. But then you may be in a place in your walk with Christ, and this is where I find many people, and sometimes this is where I find myself, where we're saved, but we're on and off. We're hot and cold. It's like, boy, I really want to follow after Christ, and I begin to go down that path, but then I find myself distracted and going off this direction. Saved, but on and off, hot and cold. Is that where you're at? Or thirdly, in your walk with Christ, are you saved and continually growing? Because spiritual growth begins with dissatisfaction with one's spiritual condition. That was Paul. Here was a man who said, I want to know Him. Here is a man who said, I'm following after Christ. I'm not there yet. I'm not at a place in my life, he says, where I'm just mature. And yes, I am growing, but I'm not where I want to be. By the way, of those three places where I know where I want to be, I want to be saved and continually growing. I can tell you that one of the areas of my life personally where I continually grow is in the area of prayer. I have preached so much on prayer. I have read so much on prayer throughout my life. And yet, when I look at my life, sometimes I feel so inadequate when it comes to prayer. Sometimes I just feel like I'm just mouthing words, and I don't want to mouth words when I pray. I don't want to just go through a list. I realize that in my life, honestly, I have to do like Paul did to say, you know, I am following after Christ, but I've got room to grow. You see, it's a dangerous place to come in our life where we're just saved and be content with that. Because there is so much more, and Paul realized that, and he said in my life, I am determined, I'm going to follow after, I'm determined, I'm going to press forward in this relationship with Christ. I'm just not going to be satisfied that he saved me on the road to Damascus. No, I'm going to follow after Him. So he was determined to press forward. But notice also in this passage in verse number 10, he was determined to be more like Christ. He says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. The word know here means to know intimately. It is to be very familiar with. Let me give you an illustration. If you put me on a tractor, I wouldn't know a whole lot about it. I think I know enough that the clutch and so forth. I don't keep up with tractors. Never really have, but I'm not all that familiar with them. But you take Tracy Sleff here, for instance, this morning. You get him on a tractor. It's just like hand in glove. It works for him, right, Tracy? Yeah. He knows how, and if it breaks down, he knows what to do for the most part on how to fix the problem, because he has taken time to become familiar with his machinery. That is the idea here, where Paul again said, I want to be very familiar with my Savior. I want to be very intimate in my knowledge of him. I really want to know him. Now notice what he says in verse 10. I want to know of the power that renews me. He says the power of the resurrection. Keep your place here and go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to show you a couple of passages in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and notice now in verse number 16. He says this, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What is the Bible teaching us there? It's teaching us this, that our outward, that which we see, every one of us, we can turn to the person left, right, or behind us, in front of us, and we all have a very common feature. We have a fleshly nature. The Bible here in this context calls it the outward man. That which we take care of. That which we keep clean. That which we pamper at times and so forth. But yet, the Bible says, the outward man is perishing. What does that mean? That means the outward man is decaying. The outward man is dying. Believe it or not, the moment you and I were born was the moment we began to die. Because the Bible says the soul that sins, it shall die. So he says here in this passage, the outward man is perishing. But, he says, the inward man, that which you cannot see in me and that which I cannot see in you, but only our Heavenly Father knows what's inside. And he says in this context, though the outward is perishing, the inward man, the soul of man, is renewed day by day. Now think about this. How do we renew that inward man? Very simply. One, you're doing it this morning. You're hearing the Word of God. You are listening to the Word of God. You're casting your eyes upon the Word of God. This is how the inward man is renewed day by day. And so when you think of this then, he says that I want to know Christ. I want to know him. I want to be so familiar with the power that renews me, because Jesus Christ did not stay in the grave. Amen? He didn't stay in the grave. He's a living Savior. He's a risen Savior. He is a coming Savior. And because of that resurrection power, then he says, then that inward man is renewed day by day. Let me give you an illustration. I have the privilege at times, and I try to make it a weekly practice in my life, where I have the opportunities, though, at time to talk to someone about where they are spiritually in their life. And I will ask them, what's your relationship with God like? I will ask them a question like, well, what denomination do you claim? Not that I believe that that gets them to heaven, but I want to know what their background is. And then I will ask them this, if you died today, would you go to heaven? I don't believe I would. Would you like to know? Yes, I would. So I will take them through some scriptures, promises from God, and I share with them how that they too can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I bring them to that point, would you right now like to pray and ask the Lord to save you? And the answer is yes. Now, what happens then when that takes place is that that person outwardly, remember the Bible says the outward man is perishing. But now the soul of that individual has been saved. That individual has come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And now they are in the family of God. And as a result of that, that soul that was once dead in trespasses and in sins is now made alive through Christ Jesus. And so now that the Bible that didn't make any sense to them makes all the sense in the world because they've gotten rightly related to the author of the book. And when they did, not that they become instant Bible students or Bible scholars, but now they realize, hold it, God loves me. That's what he says. God knows me. God cares for me. And this old precious book tells them that. And it renews them day by day. So Paul said, I want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. And then secondly, he wanted to know Jesus in his sufferings. He wanted to know the sufferings that would teach him something. You're in 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. How many of you in this past week encountered trials in your life? Okay. This man also did. Sometimes we have a way of taking these Bible characters, and they're actually real people, and putting them on such a pedestal that we almost think that they didn't live like the average man did. That's wrong. Paul did. Now the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he had a trial in his life. Let's see how he responds to it. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Now, what he means by that is, if you read the verses prior to this, he had the opportunity. He says, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but he had the opportunity to have seen the risen Lord. That's what he's talking about in those first six verses. Okay? So when he says, lest I would be exalted, in other words, God didn't want me to go around boasting about the vision that I saw. So, verse 7 says this. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Have you ever prayed and asked God for an answer and didn't get the answer you wanted? You ever been there? You pray, you want a certain outcome, and you didn't get the answer. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us here, other than that the word thrice means three times. Paul, over a period of time, prayed three times, Lord, would you remove this thorn in my flesh? Would you remove this trial? Well, it's hard when trials come our way. They come our way. We don't know exactly what God is doing through all of it, but he has a purpose in it, right? Amen. He has a purpose in the trial. So, he prays. What's God's response? Let's look at verse 9. And he, that is God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's God's answer to Paul's prayer. Paul, I'm not taking it away. You're going to live with this the rest of your life. But he did say, but my grace will be sufficient for you. Now look at verse number 9. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. That's trials and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Remember now, what's his determination? I am determined to know Christ. I am determined to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ in the power of his resurrection. I want to experience that resurrection power in my life. But I also want to experience the fellowship of his sufferings. Note the word fellowship. Because you see, you've got to understand this morning that when we go through trials, we don't go through them alone. Amen? You may feel alone. You may feel like the whole world is against you. You may feel like you've been forsaken, sometimes even of God. But the Bible says that we are not alone, because the Word of God says that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Paul says, I want to know of the fellowship of his sufferings, because they teach me of God's grace. They teach me of God's strength. When I am weak, then am I strong. Yesterday, a preacher friend of mine had to go through the funeral service of his 30-year-old son. 12 years ago, he was involved in an accident up in Gaylord on their property. And up to that point, picture of health, no problems. And then this accident, pretty much, they didn't even think he was going to make it from that accident. Spleen had ruptured. I mean, it was heart issues. It was just bad. God miraculously brought him through that, but not without difficulties. Just last week, he drew his last breath here on earth in the Henry Ford Hospital. Needed a heart transplant, just couldn't get it. And I heard the dad say yesterday, he did not preach the message, he just gave a closing remark to the people, thanking them for coming to the funeral. And that he had said that he himself had gotten over 32,000 responses to his tweet about his son on Twitter. And he says, I'm sure that there are many more people that have lifted us up in prayer through these last 2 weeks. And you know what I did not hear yesterday in that funeral service? Was blaming God. But thanking God for the 30 years that they did have with their son. Yes, we look at it and say, my, 30 years old. He was just starting to live. Got it? There are things in life, as you know, we just simply don't understand. But this pastor and his family have walked through this trial together and watched their son over these last 12 years be a strong witness to Christ, to the doctors and to the nurses and people that he came in contact along the way. They knew where, those doctors and nurses knew where Brandon stood in his relationship with God, and Brandon wanted them to know as well. Would the family, humanly speaking, like to have had a different outcome? Sure. Dr. Tony Evans, his son, spoke at his mom's funeral. How many of you know Dr. Tony Evans? Anybody? Okay, a few of you. He's a preacher down in Texas. God has given them a great church. But his wife died of cancer at the age of 70. And his son, though, in the service, had the opportunity to speak, and he says, you know, I was wrestling, and he's a preacher himself, he says, I was wrestling with God. I wanted God to heal my mom. I wanted more time with her. And he was wrestling with, like, God, why? Oh, why aren't you answering? He says, the more I listened to God, the more I realized he did answer. He answered yes and yes. Meaning by that, if I heal her, there's the answer, yes. But if I take her on to glory, then God has also answered. In other words, what he was saying is that God did answer our prayer. You ought to just look it up when you go home today and listen to the testimony. It'll encourage you. It'll challenge you. But what was that family learning? That I can know of the sufferings. They teach me. So when you go back to Philippians chapter 3, and he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, he was determined, I want to be more like Christ in those areas, and so do I. He was determined to move forward. He was determined to be like Christ. Then we notice also, he was determined to move past accomplishments and failures. He was determined to move past those. Let's look first of all at his accomplishments. Look at verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, or chapter 3 now. Look at verse 4. He says, though I might have also confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now he begins to go through his resume, if you would. He says, if anybody has something to brag about, boy, I do. But notice what he says in verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He says, boy, if anybody had any room to just brag, I sure do. Barnabas, the encourager, took Mark. But later we find this, that Paul, this is an attitude of moving past his past, even in this bad relationship that he had with John Mark. 2 Timothy 4:11, he says this, bring Mark with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. There was a time he wouldn't have said that. But I believe God did a work in the heart of Paul to say, you need to deal with the wrong attitude toward a brother. Now, I don't know this morning what you may be struggling with, possibly with some failures in your life. Maybe they are really holding you up from really advancing, like Paul was here, going after Christ. But do you want to move past it? I heard about a man who went to see his doctor and said, Doc, you've got to help me. He said, well, what's wrong? The man said, I'm suffering from amnesia. What should I do about it? The doctor said, just go home and forget about it. Well, may I say this morning, that is what God, and I know this is easier said than done, because we are not God. God can not only forgive, but God can put our sin under the blood. God can put all of our failures under the blood, and I get it. And I realize that at times in our life, though, there are just these failures that we encounter in life, and we've got to say, God, help me to move past it so that I can go further in my relationship with you. Someone has said, you cannot change the past, but you can let it go and live for God now. And so Paul was determined. He was very determined. I'm going to follow after Christ. Who or what are you following after this morning in your life? Where are you in relationship with Jesus Christ? I trust you can say with great confidence, based on the Word of God, that you can say, I know that I'm saved. If not, then today, come to Jesus. Receive Him as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. But this morning, who or what are you following after? Church, I cannot think of anything better than to follow after Jesus. Remember what he said when he came to the earth. And he went to some men, and he said, "Men, follow me." And the Bible says, particularly with three of these men, that they left their father, they left their occupation, and they followed Jesus. Jesus today is calling us. Follow me. Follow me. Follow after me. Will we answer the call? Paul said, "I follow after him." Will you follow after him today? Father, I thank you this morning for the power of your word and for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who gives us understanding as the word of God is being preached. Father, I trust that people have been helped this morning. I know I'm not to be, if you would, Paul, but he is an example for us of what it is to follow after Christ. There was this strong determination in his life to do this. And he sure had a lot of accomplishments. And he definitely had a lot of failures in his life. But he was determined not to allow those accomplishments or failures to hold him back from this great pursuit. He was going to go after Christ. And Father, I trust this morning that in each of our lives that there will be this strong determination that this week we will strongly pursue after Christ. That we'll even at times put aside even good things so that we can have and enter into the best relationship of all. And so speak to hearts this morning, challenge, which I know that you are. Now, their heads bowed, I wonder this morning there would be some here who would say, "Pastor, I want to have this same kind of determination in my life to follow after Christ with all my heart and all my strength. I don't want to be content just being saved. I really want to get on this path and determine to follow strongly after Christ. That's the need of my life. I'm not on that path, but by God's help today, I want to get on that path and strongly pursue him, strongly follow after him." If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand up right where you're at? Say, "Yes, Pastor, that's me. That's where I am this morning. Yes, God bless you." Say, "Pastor, that's me. I really want to follow strongly after Christ. Again, I don't want to be on and off. I don't want to be hot and cold. I really want to be determined to follow after him." Anybody else? Just lift your hand up, put it right back down while we wait. Anybody else? Would there be those here this morning who would say, "Pastor, you talked about knowing Jesus as Savior. I don't know him that way. I don't. But I want to. I want to enter into that relationship with Jesus. I want him to save me. I want him to forgive me of all of my sin. I want him this morning to come into my life and to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to be able to say with great confidence on the Word of God that I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know that, but I want to know. I really do." Their heads bowed and eyes closed, just lift your hand up and say, "Pastor, that's me. That's me. That's where I am. You talked about those other places where we might be in our walk with Christ, I'm not anywhere near those because I've never trusted Christ as Savior. And today, before I leave, I want to nail it down. I want to nail it down today. Would you lift your hand up right where you're at? Anybody at all while we wait? Say, yes, Pastor, that's me. That's me. That's my need. I've put it off long enough. Today is the day. Anybody at all while we wait? And now, Father, how I do pray this morning that you would help us. We're weak, you're strong. You want us this morning to pursue this deep relationship with Jesus. It's not something that just happens when we make a decision. It's a lifelong process. And how I would pray this morning that though we would not be satisfied where we are, Paul wasn't. And if anybody had room to say, man, look at me, I've really grown a lot. And he had. But he still had a lot of room to grow. And Father, in our life, help us not to settle where we're at, but help us to keep pursuing strongly a deeper and abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. For those that know not Christ, before they leave today, may they seek out someone and say, I want to talk to you about this. I want to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you save them today? In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Sister Tina begins to play softly through. Have your way, Lord, have your way. And as she plays softly through this morning, I'm going to encourage you to come and just kneel here and say, Lord, strengthen me. I want to pursue you with all of my heart, all my soul, all my strength. I'm not doing that right now, but Lord, help me because I want to get on that path and determine to really go after you. Won't you come this morning? If you're not saved, come, let us talk to you about it. It's the greatest knowledge in all the world to know for sure that Jesus is your Savior. He died for you. He lives. And today, he wants to become your personal Savior. He's my personal Savior. I wish I could make that decision for you. I cannot. Today, won't you let us help you? Walking this aisle doesn't save anybody, but it gives us an opportunity to help you. Have your way, Lord, have your way. That's what this song says. Let him have his way in your heart and life this morning. Amen.